Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
So good evening.
Good evening.
So tonight we will continue resuming our reflections on the tools for good works. And tonight we look at tool 26. In the RB 80 translation, it reads, "Never turn away when someone needs your love." In the Latin, it's it's a little different. Caritatem non de relinquere. Now, other translations I was checking translated maybe more literal, do not abandon or forsake charity. Do not turn away from love. So there's no mention of the neighbor in those translations, but the verb de relinquere can mean, which could be translated turning away, can also mean relinquish. And so it could be translated not to relinquish love, or not to let go of love. The idea is hold on to love for dear life, we might say. But the verb, or the noun, caritatem, implies, as we will see, it implies another person there, even though it is, literally there's no other person in the, as the Latin reads, but it's understood for a Latin, a person it's a Latin. As soon as they see caritatem, they know it's referring to the neighbor. So don't relinquish your love for the neighbor. We could say that if there's ever any doubt that the rule of Saint Benedict is in any way non-relational, or we might say solely vertical, God and me, and forget the rest of you, as the rule of the master tends to be very, very vertical, no horizontal, forget, meaning with my neighbor, my brother involved. If there's any question that the rule of Benedict is anyway non-relational, or perhaps more eremitical, if you want to put it that way, than cenobitical, this tool 26 really clarifies that that is not the case. At its very heart, in the spirit of the rule of Saint Benedict, is relational. And I say it's this caritatem or caritatis in the actual nominative, that's found in the rule of Saint Benedict, and there are three immediate uses of caritas that Saint Benedict makes in the rule, and each of these is about the love of my neighbor or my brother or whoever the neighbor might be. So the first use of the word caritas, in the rule of Saint Benedict is chapter 27. And it's interesting because the title of chapter 7, or 27, is the abbot's concern for the excommunicated. So we're dealing with someone who's cut off from the community. And Saint Benedict says, let love, caritas, for the excommunicated brother, be reaffirmed, and let everyone pray for him. Well, there's a scriptural allusion to 2 Corinthians 2:8 in that injunction to let love for the excommunicated brother be reaffirmed. And then in chapter 35, verse 6, and the chapter is called Kitchen Servers of the Week. So it's important for us to remember that when we're on our weekly duty or on our, you know, not just serving the food, but either cook or refectorian or dishwasher. St. Benedict says, let all the rest, meaning all the brothers who are not exempt, because there's a few brothers that are exempt from the service in the refectory, let all the rest serve one another in caritas, in love. And finally, in chapter 65, verse 11, entitled The Prior of the Monastery, St. Benedict again uses caritas, and he says, for the preservation of peace and caritas, love, we have therefore judged it best for the abbot to make all decisions in the conduct of his monastery. So that's, of course, the context of the prior. So there we have it. Caritas is clearly something that is outgoing and very relational. Well, to be committed to the welfare, the service, and to the salvation, we can add, of my brothers, even when I meet opposition, hostility, or maybe even indifference, we have to agree this is radical love. To continue to be never turning away from someone, because all of us need love. But even when someone tries to block it or stop it or whatever the issue is, for me or for the monk to continue to never turn away from that kind of love. I mean, all I can say is this is radical. And again, you know, we say, well, this is precisely what it is. When we Cistercians or Saint or William of St. Thierry calls the monastery the school of charity, which is a special term we Cistercians speak of when referring to the monastery, or at least one of the terms, the school of charity, because this perfectly describes the radical nature of our Cistercian monastic life. And this little tool is the whole meaning of the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke's Gospel, as we heard in that book some months ago now, about the Good Samaritan, or that whole dynamic in Jewish culture, you know, where there was nothing for that Samaritan into what he did. There was going to be no benefit for him. In fact, what surprised me, if the author was correct, there was actual danger in the Samaritan reaching out to this Jewish man who had been robbed and left on the side of the road, I suppose, to die. He could have lost his life, because Samaritans just did not care for a Jew. And there was such a strong feeling between antipathy between the two groups. And yet here he is. He's not turning away from love of this other person. Well, you will agree that this is radical love, and you will agree it requires considerable effort. In fact, it requires God's grace. And in that process, I cannot even dare to consider this type of love without serious self-denial. I mean, I just cannot hold on to anything of who I am, or at least who I think I am, in my own identity. I mean, I just have to let it all go in order to reach out to the other. And again, if you put it in the context of the parable of the Good Samaritan, you can see how radical this is. Well, I think you will also agree that to grow and expand in this kind of love requires, again, incredible patient endurance and long suffering. Being willing to meet with, you know, total resistance or opposition, and yet still being present to someone who's rejecting me. Well, I think you will agree that growth in this kind of love of the brothers, which is love of the community, and we might as well add the love of the place and the love of the rule, which again are dear terms to us Cistercians, according, you know, to the St. Stephen and St. Albrecht, our two early founders. This growth is going to occur at many emotional levels. And why I say that, because growth in love takes place in a development of the freedom of my will by which I love. Growth in love takes place in a development of the freedom of my will by which I love. I may not be able to do it today, but maybe tomorrow I can do it. And what I can do down the road, I cannot possibly consider at this moment. So to decide, to choose again and again to love, and at deeper or different emotional levels throughout my, in this case, my monastic vocation. Well, to take on a community service in obedience means to embrace it in this kind of love, this kind of caritas. And so suddenly it's just not doing it. And again, sometimes that's not so easy to do. I just want to get the job done and and go on. But to embrace it in this charity, this service to my brothers, and not just doing it, which means we're moving into a real internalization. And it's just not a matter of compliance, even though there is a level of conformity, in our life, and it's necessary. Oftentimes, only after persevering in a task, not for a day, not for a week, or not even for just a year, but for many years, do I come to experience a freedom, a total detachment, a purified, unfeigned love, what we call a true love, that this immediate day can never possibly know or reveal to me. So it's this kind of love, and persevering in it. So never turn away from someone who needs your love. Only with time do I come to understand that service or tasks, again, are not about completing projects as an end. Obviously, we're going to get the project complete. If the water line is broke under St. Luke's, we got to get that repaired, right? But it's completing a task. The completing the project is not the end, but it's about loving service an appreciation for my brothers. And that's, again, goes back to chapter 35 of the rule, kitchen servers of the week. And the last and greatest task of the monk is to serve his brothers, and with that sense, the church, and for the world for that matter. So the very last task you're going to have to do for all of us, as we have witnessed time and time again over the years here, the last task each of us has is to die with dignity, and to teach the rest of us who stand at the deathbed, or the death side, or is teaching us how to die and how to pass on this greatest and most lasting legacy of love. I wonder if we think of that enough. It's going to be your last service to the community. And in this way, chapter 72 of the rule, Good Zeal of Monks, makes perfect sense and comes to full fruition. As St. Benedict says, because then to their fellow monks they show the pure love of brothers. So now it's we're into purity of heart. And they show to God loving fear, and they show to their abbot unfeigned and humble love. So never turn away when someone needs your love.